Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the program. I'm Lori Rubinson, talking sports, having fun with you here on The Fan at 888-808-1019. That's the phone number. Go ahead and use it. You can also hit me up on Twitter at L Rubinson. Producing tonight, Mike Fliegelman. We say goodbye to Polly Rosenberg and Peach Wurtz on the updates. All right, so here's what you got going. The New York Giants, they lose. Big news flash there. Trade deadline coming up on Tuesday. If you're the Giants, well, will they trade anybody? Should they trade anybody? Right now, the Giants are 2-7. That is tied for the worst record in the NFL. The Jets are only one game better. So it's not like the Jets are world beaters here on the one hand. On the other hand, look, if the Jets, it depends on which Jets team it is. If the Jets show up and play like the team that played in the second half this week, then are the Jets still in playoff contention, even though they have an abysmal 3-6 record? If the Jets play like the team in the first half, no. In the second half, yes. So which Jets team, what would you do? I actually was texting some of the beat writers tonight. I'll give you a little inside scoop on what I'm hearing from some of the people who are in the know. Same goes, did the same thing also about Gerrit Cole, New York Yankees. They're on the clock to make a decision, Gerrit Cole opting out of his contract. So now the Yankees have a little clause there. They can add a year to that contract. They can make it 5 years and $180 million. He had 4 years, $144 left. He's 34 years old. He had elbow issues this year. He only threw 95 innings in the regular season. On the one hand. On the other hand, he's an important part of the team, a leader, pitched. Look, his defense, obviously, in the deciding game in the World Series was bad in not covering first base, but he actually pitched well in the postseason and has been a reliable, consistent, good starter for the New York Yankees. Very good starter, and those are hard to find. People who can pitch in New York and like pitching here. So, what do the Yankees do? Do they let a 34-year-old starter hit the open market and hope that he still wants to come back to the Yankees, take a chance there, that he maybe doesn't get something as long or as much money? Or they just add that year and 5 years now for a 34-year-old pitcher coming off a season with elbow problems? What would you do? What will the Yankees do? We thought they had to decide by midnight tonight. Turns out, according to Mark Feinsohn, the Yankees will have to make a decision by tomorrow afternoon, 5 o'clock. So keep it tuned on The Fan all day. You'll find out what the Yankees are going to do. And as I said, I have a little inside scoop on that I will share with you coming up. And of course, Juan Soto, now that baseball season is over and we're turning the page, that becomes a big topic. So plenty to do. We're going to start tonight, and phones are already heating up. Join the fun, 888-808-1019. I'll hit those calls in just a moment. But we will start tonight with the Giants. Maybe for no other reason than, I don't know, it's Sunday. They played today. So we will talk about them, whether they deserve our conversation or not. I'm curious what you all think about. We're going to start with the Giants were actually in this ball game against the Washington Commanders. And the sad part, now that the season is series against the Commanders is done, the Giants going 0-2. This used to be a team they owned until this season. Giants used to own over, you know, in recent times, the Washington Commanders. The Cowboys and the Eagles have been taking turns being the class of the division. But the Giants could count on the fact that as bad as they were, the Commanders are also bad. And, excuse me, you could count on the Commanders for a losing record. But a funny thing happened last year. On the way to the Giants getting some of those wins with Tommy DeVito and that, you know, some chicken parm that Giants fans were having a good time with last season, the Commanders, at the trade deadline, which, by the way, is coming up on Tuesday, the Commanders traded away some of their players like Chase Young and others, and they went full-on tank last year. And now it's hard to do. Players and coaches want to win, but if you're a front office, you can help a tank job by trading away players. So that's what they did. And that difference in losing more than the Giants did last season in a quarterback-rich draft means that the Washington Commanders have reset their franchise. They have new owners who don't suck anymore like the previous owner seemed to be. They hired Dan Quinn. They have Cliff Kingsbury as the offensive coordinator. They seem to have competent coaching now. And best of all, they have a franchise quarterback, Jaden Daniels. And you can see the difference between the two teams. And on a day when Daniel Jones was not terrible, this wasn't bad Daniel Jones. When we look at like all the reasons why the Giants may have lost this football game 27-22, Daniel Jones, you look at the stat line, 20 of 26 passing. He completed 20 of 26. For Daniel Jones, that's pretty darn good. 174 yards, 2 touchdowns passing. Ran the ball 7 times for 54 yards and a touchdown, including at the touchdown run, he bowled his way into the end zone, just refused to be denied. Plays tough. And the numbers, a bad fumble in this game, should have gotten rid of the ball, or frankly, should have just held on to the ball, taken the sack. But overall, didn't look bad, Daniel Jones. Of all the reasons we can say why the Giants lost this football game on Sunday, it wasn't necessarily Daniel Jones. The defense couldn't do their job against Washington. But here's what I would imagine your eyes told you when you compared and watched the two teams. The Washington Commanders are a franchise with hope, belief in their young quarterback on the way up. And you can see it. And it's a young quarterback who, on the day, the numbers will tell you, 15-22, 209 yards, 2 touchdown passes. Ran the ball 8 times for 35 yards. His numbers won't pop off the page, but took care of the football, no turnovers. And for a Giants defense that had been leading the league in sacks, no sacks on the day. So no turnovers, no sacks from the Giants defense.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And if we're being honest, this end, the Giants sort of have a chance a little bit at the end there, and the score is 27-22. Washington then sitting on the ball at the very end. They could have scored, but let the clock, you know, run out there as they were close to the goal line. This game never felt in doubt. Really didn't. Didn't really feel in doubt for most of it. And the difference, Jaden Daniels is a player that is making other players on the field better. Their running game is better because the defense is really worried about the elusiveness and running ability of Jaden Daniels. The offensive line is better this year. The Washington Commanders have... You know, remember the Giants' old offensive line coach last year that everybody was trashing and thought was so terrible? Last year's Giants' offensive line coach, right? Oh, so terrible. He's now the offensive line coach with the Washington Commanders. That's who they hired. And suddenly, Washington's offensive line is pretty good. Did it get so much better? Like, yeah, they added the Cowboys' old center. Okay, so that was a bit of an upgrade. But mostly, it's not the coaching. It's the quarterback and the offensive play caller. I'll be fair. The offensive coordinator, Cliff Kingsbury. The play calling, the inventiveness, and it's the quarterback. A good quarterback, a franchise quarterback, elevates the players around him, makes them better. And what we see out of Daniel Jones is a player who I think has mostly regressed. He has gotten worse since the day he showed up with the New York Giants. His problem is rookie year. He fumbled too much, hung onto the ball, the speed of the game, and therefore, you know, stood there in the pocket, didn't see the rush, and fumbled too much. But his rookie year, Daniel Jones threw 24 touchdown passes in 12 starts. He averaged 2 per game. The Giants' offense has regressed since the Pat Shurmur days. They're averaging 15.4 points per game. Brian Daboll's calling the plays this year. That was supposed to help. It doesn't. They're not good. They imported all kind of, you know, helping the offensive line. And that was better, and it is better, but Andrew Thomas got hurt, and he's their best offensive lineman, and without him at left tackle. Yeah, they're okay. Offensive line run blocked their butts off today. I'll give them credit on that. 164 yards on the ground, 164 yards rushing. The run blocking was really good. But this is... The Giants are... They're in no man's land. They're in the worst possible kind of place to be. You know you don't have the franchise quarterback. But it's, I don't know, in a year where the Giants might be tied for the worst record, but they're about to fly to Germany and play the Carolina Panthers, who are also 2-7. And there's a whole bunch of teams. The Giants are 2-7, but so are the Cleveland Browns, and they stink. Really super disappointing. The Jacksonville Jaguars thought they might be a playoff team. They're 2-7. They stink. The Las Vegas Raiders are 2-7. They're like the Giants. They don't have a quarterback. They're in no man's land. They stink. New England Patriots at least have their quarterback in Drake May. Not sure if you saw the end of that, their game today. They went to overtime and lost. But Drake May with an incredible play, buying time, running all over the place for over 11 seconds at the end of that game to just heave a ball and get the tying score. But they're 2-7, but they're in a different place. When you have your potential franchise quarterback, you have hope and something to build around. So they might stink, but they're in a rebuild that you can see a path forward. Those are all in the AFC. In the NFC, you have the Panthers, the Saints, and the Giants. Three teams heading in the wrong direction. And with all those teams at 2-7, unfortunately for the Giants, the strength of schedule of their, because their division is decent with both the Eagles and the Commanders, you know, they're not likely to end up with a top 1-2 pick. And this is not necessarily a draft that is being looked at as a good quarterback draft. So maybe you fall in love with somebody, Cam Ward out of Miami. Maybe. Shedeur Sanders, I don't know if he would do well in the New York market. Maybe you fall in love with somebody. Or what do? You punt the position again for another year? Or you look, we just had Sam Darnold playing on Sunday Night Football with Minnesota. Darnold, unless the Vikings win the Super Bowl, is probably going to be a free agent after the season. Does he really want to come back to New York? I kind of doubt it. And with where he's at in his career, would you want to, you know, if Dable and Shane are even back and you take John Mara at his word and they're coming back, what decent free agent quarterback would want to come to the Giants under those circumstances? Because you'd have to feel like the Giants were in, and Dable and Shane, kind of a lame duck situation. And the most likely scenario is that they will be somewhat, I don't want to say forced, but that they will feel like they should draft a quarterback so they have an opportunity to draft their guy and build around him, because that buys them more time and job security. You could, yeah, what I said about the Patriots. You can stink if you have hope of a franchise quarterback. But does that mean the Giants are just going to reach whether they love somebody or not? They didn't reach this last year. Honestly, there were quarterbacks I think I might have taken. I thought it was a terrific quarterback draft. Michael Penix Jr., who Atlanta ended up taking. I could have seen the Giants taking him. Obviously, the Giants didn't love J.J. McCarthy, and the Vikings took him. Look at what the Vikings did. Vikings and Giants. I mean, coming into the season week one, this was like a pickup game, Vikings and Giants. We thought these teams were similar coming off of last season, that the Vikings, without Kirk Cousins, and then with their rookie in J.J. McCarthy getting injured, and their veteran, you know, backup plan that they had with the rookie, so maybe the rookie wouldn't have to start right away, but after a few games he would. Like, that was kind of their plan. But they go with a plan that Sam Darnold and J.J. McCarthy, a combination of a competent veteran, a young veteran with upside and with hope, they have a terrific young offensive coach and play caller, head coach and play caller. And that's what the Giants are supposed to have in Dable. But the Vikings actually seem to have that. And right now, they are a franchise on the upswing. Vikings are now 6-2? They had their bye week. So Vikings are 6-2. They're a game back of the Detroit Lions for the best overall record in the conference. Washington Commanders, 7-2, half game back, best overall record in the conference. Teams with a plan And there's different ways to do it, to find that franchise quarterback. Look at the Detroit Lions. They trade with L.A. for Jared Goff, who some people thought was that trade for Matthew Stafford, that it was, you know, Detroit was just taking on this bad contract in Goff, and maybe Goff was, you know, a washout, a bust. And meanwhile, Goff is now more accurate than Drew Brees. He's unbelievable. Detroit has more touchdown passes than incompletions on the season. It's insane how accurate Jared Goff is. He is not unlike the trend of running quarterbacks and what we see around the NFL. They have found a way to amass talent, build a fantastic offensive line, and have a head coach, unlike all the trends around the NFL, to have a young, offensive-minded head coach who is going to, you know, call plays and all, you know, all those trends. Dan Campbell came in, first press conference, looked goofy with what he talked about. Turned out to be more of that CEO model of head coach. The guy who's going to run the franchise and inspire the heck out of his guys and set a tone and change a culture. Downtrodden Detroit, who's like never won anything. 7-1 and the class of the NFC right now. Looking like they might be on a collision course with the Kansas City Chiefs for the Super Bowl. But that's one way of doing it. They traded for Jared Goff. Washington Commanders, they tanked for Jaden Daniels. Drafted him. Atlanta Falcons are 6-3. They signed Kirk Cousins. You can get free agents. Minnesota Vikings. Sam Darnold, free agent. Different ways to do it. Easiest one, best one, draft a quarterback and have a young quarterback on a rookie contract that you can build around the economics of that and try and win a Super Bowl within those first 4 or 5 years. That's the best, easiest way to do it. Not easy, but best way to do it economically. But there's all kinds of options. But right now, the New York Giants, they're in no man's land. No plan. No path forward. And as for the two-point conversions, we'll get to a call on that. As for the two-point conversions, what'd you think about that? I am a big fan of analytics. I'm always a defender of analytics. For all the fans that are like ripping analytics, oh, this is stupid, and you know, want to go back to the Ice Age half the time and not look at data and information, which is really all that analytics is. But last year in the NFL, teams were converting two-point conversions over 50% of the time. I get it. And in certain situations, it absolutely does make sense. End of a game with a chance to win. I get it. Two-point conversion. There are times when that makes sense. Two seasons ago, Brian Daboll, early on his coaching career, going up, it's Giants and Titans. Giants going up against a Mike Vrabel, good Tennessee Titans team at the time. And the Giants were this rebuilding underdog. And at the end of the game, they have a chance to go for the win with a two-point conversion. And Brian Daboll decides to go for it. And they do the shovel pass, little shovel drop-off, to Saquon Barkley, who scores the two-point conversion, and they win. And that aggressiveness from Daboll and the good play call that they used in that situation, and of course having Saquon there helped. But even with Saquon last year, they stunk, so let's be clear on that. But look, there are times a two-point conversion makes sense. There are other times this season, teams are down on two-point conversions, 31% overall in the season on two-point conversions. And on top of that, Let's just look at the New York Giants. Giants are 0, now after today, the Giants are 0-6 on two-point conversions on the season. So yes, there are times to go for a two-point conversion. End of the game to tie? Sure, go for a two-point conversion. End of the game because you decide that the other team is actually better than you are, and you think, and they have momentum or whatever reason it is, you say, you know what, if we go to overtime and it's 0-0, I don't really love our chances. So our chances are better. I'm going to go 50-50, which is what you usually think a two-point conversion should be. I'm going to go 50-50 here to win the darn thing, because if we get to overtime, I don't like our chances. In that scenario, yeah, go for it. Try and win the game right there with a two-point conversion. But when you are not that close to the end of the game to start taking points off the board with 8 minutes left, 9 minutes left, 10 minutes left, and chase points there when your team was 0 for 4, is now 0 for 6 on two-point conversions for the season. Why? Well, they're not good offensively. Even on a day when they managed to put up, whoop-de-doo, they actually scored a touchdown at home. Daniel Jones had a touchdown pass at home. They scored 22 points. But this is a Giants team that averages 15.4 points per game on the season, and their play calling this year, their offense, nothing's particularly imaginative. So, kick the extra point the first time at least. Once you go for two and you miss it, then you have to go for it the second time. But the first time, you kick that extra point. Then even if they kick a field goal, whatever, you kick that other extra point, you could be down a field goal instead of having to go for a touchdown. And that's the difference in it. You're chasing points. As I said, I get it. If you're the Kansas City Chiefs and you want to go for two almost any time in the game, whatever, go for it. You got Patrick Mahomes. You have Andy Reid calling plays. Go for it. You're the Detroit Lions. You want to go for two? You have Jared Goff, who seems to almost never throw an incompletion. Amon-Ra St. Brown, Sam Laporta at tight end, and two terrific running backs, and the best offensive line probably in the entire NFL. Yeah, you can probably pick up a couple yards whenever you want it. Go for two. Knock yourself out. But you're the New York Giants. On a day when you had a little bit of, they were better, Washington, but the Giants showed some heart. The defense crumbled in a few places, but the Giants showed some heart. We're climbing and crawling and finding their way back into this ball game. And then you go for two. There's a little bit of a feel-good vibe in the stadium. Maybe a little bit of confidence in the players, and you go for two, and wah-wah, let all the air out of everything.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.